WTAW News Time is 6 after 8, 63 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. Two local leaders are representing the Twin Cities as members of a national women's leadership organization. Leadership America is the nationwide program of leadership women, which aims to connect, inspire, empower, and honor females. College Station's Director of Community Services, Debbie Eller, and Bryan's Community Development Manager, Alcee Bond, were both chosen for this year's class of 58 women.
It's a very competitive process. We both applied for it, and we were very thankful that we both got picked in the same year so we could represent our cities.
Bond says during their first trip to Washington, D.C. in April, it was reassuring that the national issues were coinciding with what's happening locally. The group will go to Phoenix in June and New Orleans in October. This week's monthly meeting of the Blinn College Board of Trustees included changing a 30-year-old policy on naming campus buildings.
Trustees have added the option of naming buildings when what they call a philanthropic gift is given towards a particular facility. There may or may not be an association with that action and a special board meeting next Monday. The agenda calls for an executive session where trustees behind closed doors could discuss a prospective gift or donation. Blinn's new campus in West Bryan's also listed on next Monday's special meeting in executive session. From this week's meeting, administrators told the board they were not ready to proceed with three contracts, which are all associated with designing the entrances and exits in and out of the new campus from Harvey Mitchell Parkway and Leonard Road. And the board heard but did not take action on the administration's response to the faculty senate's call to be included in governance issues. Online at WTAW.com is a 23-page presentation that administrators use to demonstrate the college is meeting standards set by its national accrediting agency. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
Freedom was short for a Caldwell man who was indicted earlier this month by a Brazos County grand jury for six armed robberies in Bryan in January of last year. 19-year-old Tyler Davis was released from jail Monday during the noon hour. Then he was arrested Tuesday night by Bryan police on new charges of threatening to shoot the mother of his child and four other people in Henderson Park. Two convenience stores in the Twin Cities were hit by armed robberies in a 12-hour period yesterday. No one was hurt in either holdup just before noon in College Station at Frankie's Exxon at Texas and Harvey Mitchell, and just before midnight in Bryan at the Valero Corner Store at William Joel Bryan and the Freeway. The 44th season of MSC Opus, titled Expect the Unexpected, was revealed to the general public last night. Executive director Ann Black says leading off is Lyle Lovett and his large band, and among the Broadway shows are six performances of Jersey Boys.
80% of the population of Texas lives within 150 miles of College Station, so we have no worries, really, that we're going to sell very well.
Tickets and the entire schedule is online at mscopus.org. WTAW News Time is 9 minutes after 8. It's 63 degrees. You can text us your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. One more look at news at 8:30, or you can go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Building a home is a big decision, but it doesn't have to be a big hassle. Hi, I'm Coulter Marriott of Marriott Homes. We understand the importance of turnkey solutions, budget constraints, and the idea of true customization and style. Allow us a chance to shoulder your anxiety and create a home as comfortable and exciting to you and your family. We're with you every step of the way from blueprint to move-in. Marriott Homes, voted best home builder in the Brazos Valley since 2003. Call us at 696-1787 or click MarriottHomes.com.
Need a new trailer for your job site, home, or hobbies? Midway Trailers in Madisonville is your one-stop shop. Located in Madisonville on I-45, just a short drive from Bryan College Station in Huntsville, Midway Trailers provides every style of trailer to fit your every need. Light duty, heavy duty, cargo, automotive, horse, or livestock. Midway only stocks and sells the best brands. Brands like CM, Lark, and Big Tex Trailers, America's best-selling professional-grade trailer line. Visit MidwayTrailers.com today and haul away happy with Midway Trailers in Madisonville.
Years ago, the Texas Railroad Commission oversaw the operations of railroads. These days, the commission is left cleaning up the train wreck caused by Obama's energy policies. But Obama's not alone. 15-year career politician Wayne Christian is just as bad. Christian supports subsidizing green energy, leaving taxpayers on the hook, like Obama did in California with Solyndra. Wayne Christian and Barack Obama, wrong for Texas. There's a better choice for Texas Railroad Commissioner, Gary Gates. Gates is a business owner with a record of growing jobs. He understands the commission's role overseeing the oil and gas industry and knows private sector solutions work best. And Gates opposes Obama's regulations and says no subsidizing green energy. We don't need career politician Wayne Christian. The Railroad Commission needs a proven business owner, Gary Gates, not an Austin insider, not a career politician.
I'm Gary Gates, and I don't care about political correctness. I care about Texas. Political ad paid for by Gary Gates for Texas.
811 News Talk 1620 WTAW. Let's check some weather, shall we? It's brought to you by Action Sports, home of the new Can-Am Spider and Kawasaki Mule Pro FXT. Stop by and see it yourself at Action Sports 202 Holloman Drive East or click on actionsportstx.com.
Weather forecast is a bit drier across the region today. We'll see sunshine along with some passing cloudiness. Highs today 80 to 85. As the day goes on, we could see an isolated shower. We're partly cloudy tonight. Lows will fall back to around 65 to 70. Tomorrow, occasional sunshine. The threat of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, 85 to 90. And showers and thunderstorms diminish tomorrow night, 70 to 75. Scattered showers and storms Sunday, 85 to 90. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
It's Friday. Jay Sokol here this morning. You didn't bring a shirt to fold for us this morning.
I did not. I'm guessing you guys don't have a T-shirt in this entire complex.
Chelsea may go on a search for that. And what I'd suggest is maybe we video that and put it on our website. Here's what happened. We were discussing earlier this week unknown talents and abilities from people that you know. And so Jay came to mind because Jay can juggle. And I think he does that sometimes to break up the monotony in executive session, don't you? City Council?
And to be clear, I need a unicycle to do it well. But yes, I can.
Okay. But the other talent he had is, now were you working here when you did this?
Yeah,
okay.
Fresh here. This would have been, I'm thinking, about 1994.
Yeah. There were a pile of T-shirts in the control room, and he comes in and just he folds this T-shirt to perfection in like 2.5 seconds. And I'm going, what?
With the wax paper and the straight pins and everything. Yeah,
guys don't know how to do that. And you explained why you knew how to do that.
Yeah, because my family had owned a clothing store for generations. Mm-hmm. So I kind of grew up in this thing, but I didn't really think that was anything that special.
Yeah.
And really, I'm a little afraid of repeating this for you because you remember it in such a magical way that I think you would see it today and go, oh, wait, that's what it was?
Oh,
never mind.
It loses the whimsy over time.
Yeah, easily disappointed. Okay.
Well, I'll go find a couple T-shirts.
Okay, we'll work on that. In the meantime, we probably have more important things to do.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at unfolding.
There you go. I think guys could do that.
Yeah, the voice you just heard is our Mayor Pro Tem and Place 4 City Councilman in College Station, John Nichols.
There you are. John, thanks for being with us this morning. Obviously, the big talk this week was the budget, as it happens this time of year, and specifically the Convention and Visitors Bureau budget. You're on the board of CVB now. Kind of like to get your thoughts and overview of what was covered and where we go from here.
Yeah, reflecting on that, recall this is the third time the internal auditors have looked at the CVB. In 2010 and 11, some substantial issues were raised. Those have been addressed. As with most audits, people tend to dwell on the things that are yet to be done, and that's really what we did Monday night. I don't want to overlook the fact, though, that in that same report, there were quite a few positive comments about great strides have been made in the financial accounting, check management, cash management, and so forth. So there's a lot of positive things. One of the main topics of discussion was what is the appropriate level of reserves for a 501c6 like the CVB is.
Let's just pause for a second because I think they have outstanding debt of about $100,000, and the reserve that we're talking about is over $825,000.
Well, that's not that's where the issue is.
Okay,
what is a reserve?
Right.
And I asked that question in the council meeting, and the internal auditor looking at basically a leverage ratio, all the cash you have on any given day against the accounts payable.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's a minimal number of accounts payable, about $100,000, but that doesn't mean there aren't contracts that you have committed to, mm-hmm. where you've got some kind of damages you'd have to pay if you canceled that contract and so forth. So there's other issues beyond that. The reserves for the CVB is an issue that's being worked on. When I got on the Convention Visitor Bureau board last year, one of the things I was interested in was seeing a Budget and Finance Committee be formed. The organization was updating its bylaws. We added two additional people to the executive board, which is the board that really does most of the oversight on a monthly basis. And that has resulted in a effort led by Paul Bonarigo Jr., who's the chair of the Finance Committee, Gary Ellis, who's our new treasurer, and myself. The three of us are on that committee, and Ben Hardiman from Bryan is setting in on those meetings. We're now in the middle of that discussion because the CVB never had a policy with respect to what kind of reserve should be held and for what purpose. And that's what we're in the middle of discussing now, and that was an ongoing discussion at the same time the audit was being done. Obviously, we don't have that in place, so the auditor couldn't look at that. He couldn't evaluate that. An internal auditor, and we have a good one in College Station, is expected to identify risk issues, and this was one that he targeted. And frankly, it's an open discussion, and we're working on it.
And the city, I think, $1.7 million contributed by the city of College Station last year. And that number is going to stay high. It may not always be that number, but we are talking about a significant dollar amount. With regard to, while we're talking about the CVB or any other entity that comes in and looks for funding from College Station, is it your assumption that those dollars will be spent within that fiscal year? Or do you expect it to be held in reserve?
Well, I would expect that the organization will have a prudent reserve, absolutely. What is the purpose of that reserve is really what the question is. And if it's very lumpy cash flow, you got expenditures that are big at some times and low at some times, you have cash inflows that are uneven, which sometimes happens, you need to make sure you've got some reserve. If you are looking to move to a new location, that could be a reason to build up some reserves because you don't know what that new location is going to cost you, and certainly we're at the front end of that discussion once again. So I would expect all these organizations to have some reserves. In this case, you've got an organization that depends solely on, essentially, the two cities' revenue streams for the hot tax.
Mayor Pro Tem John Nichols joining us this morning. Also, one of the things that was talked about was moving forward with the new police facility and the study that's going on there.
Yeah, that had a chance to talk a little bit about that in the last week, and we had it on our agenda. I think the progress is moving along pretty rapidly. Citizens will recall that the Citizens Bond Committee identified that as number one priority. What we worked on this week was simply reviewing the orientation, but mainly the size of the building. We confirmed it's going to be 79,000 square feet. We think that's a prudent amount. We don't need to build more now, but the layout of the design allows for an addition in the future. It's going to be along Krennic Tap and Dartmouth. We want to make sure it fits appropriately and aesthetically into that area. There is an overlay that exists there that really was built around the idea that it was going to be a city center with mixed use and street-level shopping and a whole host of things that we've tried elsewhere off the main streets and have not worked very well. In this case, we've decided this is the best use for the city's land, not to sell it to a private entity. So that overlay needs to be adjusted some to make it work with all the other things we want to do there. And I think the third thing that was discussed was whether or not to include fire administration in that building. It was decided not to. Fire Chief Hurt indicated that they work as close or more closely with Planning and Development Services and other entities than they do on an hour-by-hour basis with the police department, and you've got a lot of security issues with the police facility. And we're going to have space in the old police department building that we need to repurpose, and there's some high probability that that's going to be a good location for fire administration to move. that would allow Public Works to expand in the other building. So there's a lot of moving parts, as there is with any growing city. I think we're on track. It's going to be a great facility, and I expect we'll see, I assume the next thing we'll see is maybe the overlay adjustment, and then I hope we'll, the next thing we see is preliminary design, and then construction design and bids by next year this time or sooner, and be under construction.
John Nichols joining us this morning. MUDs are municipal utility districts, can be separate taxing entities. You basically have put together a strategic agreement to have a MUD in Southern Point. Would you kind of give us an overview of what that will be?
Yeah, that actually we just approved the final statement, the development agreement with that MUD. They now have a board. They have indicated an interest in utilizing city water and wastewater systems. We've been working on that for probably 2 years now. This final agreement simply laid out the guidelines for the utility component of that. Who would be responsible for what. I think it really is a great indication that they're getting closer to actually being able to move that project forward. They've still got to make the connections. They got to build out infrastructure. They will be doing all of the infrastructure to the city standards, and that's exciting for us. It's a new model. In the long run, I think maybe not everybody understands it, but in the long run, as that development gets built out, it will be annexed into the city. Automatically, everybody will understand that there will not be any discussion or debate about it. It's part of the agreement.
Now, let's John Nichols joining us this morning. And just for a minute now, as one member of council, your thoughts, because there is some concern, as I understand it, obviously this board can decide to levy taxes within that area, and that's separate and apart from what College Station as a council would do, because that's not your deal there. The board has been named. For people who end up in there, is there a chance that those folks would not feel properly represented by that board if they decide to, for instance, raise taxes within that MUD? How do you feel as a city official, as a former chairman of planning and zoning, and your background and experience with that?
Well, first of all, remember now that this MUD is outside the city, so there will only be one. There'll be the county taxes, school taxes, and the MUD taxes.
Now. Right.
When we annex them, the MUD taxes go away.
Okay.
But we aren't going to annex them until they've pretty much paid out the cost of that infrastructure, and then we would assume any outstanding debt, and the city's tax levy would then support that. I'm not real familiar with the voting procedures and that sort of thing inside that MUD, but there's a way of getting redress if the citizens there felt like the MUD district board was doing something that was inappropriate or out of the ordinary. I don't think there's we have transparency requirements on the MUD, just like we do on our MMDs. They have to meet publicly. They have to post all of their minutes, and that's the names and the addresses of the board members are known. We will have opportunities to work with them closely.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave you some time because I've gone through a whole bunch of minutia and tall weeds, so I know there's some things that you'd like to discuss.
I wanted to go back to that Convention Visitors Bureau thing.
Sure.
Because I think there's an important thing that we don't really look at very often from the city's perspective. We have some very large service industries in this community. Student housing is one of those. Property taxes generated. We have people living here that spend money, generate sales tax. We have a lot of hotel rooms that are have been built with private investment, a lot of it from outside this community. That is an industry that I think the city should be interested in supporting and is interested in supporting, because it's important that we utilize the underutilized capacity that the investors have already built. Think of the sales tax revenue that comes with every room night that's occupied. And we've got a problem in this Sunday to Thursday room night occupancy. The average revenue per room on those nights has dropped the last couple of years. And, of course, part of that's supply driven. It's not all demand. Demand's flat. Demand's actually gone down in the midweek range because of the oil and gas thing. I think we got a great opportunity from an economic development perspective to figure out ways to invest in putting more people or utilizing those essentially useless room nights. Once the night's gone, it's like a seat on an airplane that's not filled.
Right.
And I know that they're pricing those to try to get them filled. I think we could, we need to look at that as an investment in economic development. So I think that's where the hot tax funds come in. Whether or not the CVB is doing everything it can, doing it right, that, you know, that's a work in progress. So we need to keep working on that. But I think it's really important to focus on filling those rooms because there's sales tax revenue there. 47% of the city of College Station's general revenue budget comes from sales tax. And a lot of that is from visitors, short-term visitors to the community. So I like to have us kind of refocus our thinking about that industry and think of it as an industry that has underutilized capacity.
Unused opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm. Another thing you didn't mention is the RVP. I don't sit on that board. Obviously, that's been in the headline as
well. It has.
You may recall that there was some serious discussions about the RVP at our budget review last year. And I'm not sure where that's going as far as City College Station is concerned. I understand from listening to the news that the university has some different directions they're taking, and they're speaking about working directly with the cities and the county. I will say we have a really strong, focused economic development director and city manager whose expertise is in economic development. And we're, as a city council, doing everything we can to provide the tools for them and the resources for them. And so we're going to be, and have been for the last year and a half, working hard to give them the resources and the tools that they need. And if this is the direction the university is going, we're certainly going to seek to be partners with them as well as other entities in the community. So I just wanted to say this is an ongoing discussion, and I'm happy to be part of it, although I don't serve on that board. I don't have the inner workings of what the RVPs.
No, but you do sit on a city council that funds the RVP level. And the $10,000 won't be missed from A&M necessarily, but College Station's got $350 that you're giving them, and that's a significant amount of
money. That's right, and that's probably more money than we're putting into the economic development budget inside the city. And so, you know, there's going to be some significant discussions about that, I think, coming up.
Is the RVP still going to be viable a year from now?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think Mayor Byanski makes a very strong points that there's lots of other non-university-related economic development opportunities the RVP can play a role in. We may not have seen a lot of those in College Station. I think that's what some of the debate was about last year. I think we'll have to evaluate that.
Okay. Thanks for the time this morning.
Could I add one more thing?
Please do.
One item on the agenda was refunding our bonds.
Yes.
We save the taxpayers $400,000+ a year by refunding the bonds. Now, that's no bright light in the councilman's mind. That's our good city financial officer and what they're doing. $400,000 a year is a nice sum. We voted on that last time. And refunding bonds with low interest rates is a smart thing to do, and most organizations are doing it. I just wanted to point that out, that we got that in the bank.
That's why we have you in here, so you can do that. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time this morning. That's John Nichols. What else you got?
A couple of calendar items. On Friday, May 27th, that's our next movie in the park. The movie being featured is called Max. And then the next day, Saturday, May 28th, is our next Starlight Music Series. And we have all details about those two events at csdx.gov.
Can't wait. Thanks for the time this morning. All right, that's our visit with the folks from the City of College Station. It's our community segment brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Van Dyke Rankin Insurance would like to highlight Ben Welch for his influence in the community. Ben is a part of the executive leadership team at Mays Business School and has worked at A&M for 28 years. Ben was recently quoted, "You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give." A graduate of Leadership Brazos, he serves on the board of directors for Junior Achievement and as a deacon at First Baptist Church. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance recognizes Ben Welch for making a deep and lasting impact on the quality of life in our community.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. It's 8:30. Time to visit with Savannah. Did you go to the ball game last night?
No.
You Ole Miss grad, you.
I was too scared.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So listen, let's talk about what's going on in Messinahoff. This annual harvest thing, let's see, started that almost 40 years ago. It seems to have caught on, right?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. We just started selling tickets now. We want everyone to be able to plan early, so we're really excited about this.
Yeah, now this is the public gets a chance to really go out and see what the harvest experience is all about. So how do they do that?
So you get to go out in the vineyard, and you get to learn how to pick the grapes and stomp the grapes. And the grapes actually go into our port. They're Limoir grapes. And then you get to experience some vineyard cuisine.
Very nice.
Tours around the estate by Paul and Karen. So that's really fun. And wine and food pairing classes.
So now it's coming up, what, end of July? Is that right?
Yes, we kick off at the end of July.
Okay. And the thing is, that's fun is you have a daytime harvest that they can do not only right at that weekend, but some other weekends as well. Why don't we tell them what those weekends are?
Yeah, our daytime harvest events, it's July 30th, August 8th, and August 20th. Oh, well, we added another.
Okay.
August 13th. We added that one.
Great.
Okay. And then there's the specialty dinners that you can also go to.
Now, that's something they've been doing for a long time, but you have one coming up on the 30th, but you'll have they go on a lot all during the year, but the next one's on the 30th. Tell me what that one's going to be about.
So this one is a Renaissance murder mystery dinner, and we've had a lot of interest in this one. So tickets are already being sold, and so that one's going to be really – it's a night in the Renaissance or something like that. And it's, it looks really interesting.
Well, and that's one of what you got about a half dozen during July and August altogether, right? Different specialty dinners?
Yes, we have all kinds of different things. Battle of the Blends, Dinner at Dusk, which is going to be a dinner in the actual vineyard. Who Killed the Winemaker, our grand finale where we release new wines, all kinds of stuff.
Sounds fun. Now, if they want some more information, what do they need to do?
If you want more information, you can go to messinahoff.com/harvest or give us a call at 979-778-9463, extension 234.
And also, I think you've got some early bird pricing available, too, if they want to do that, huh?
Yes, you're right. If you use promo code HARVEST16, then you can get some early bird prices. If you go online and type that in.
All right, there you go. All going on at Messina Hoff. Busy times coming up. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
All right, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Apple's getting ready to revamp its stores. The iPhone maker is overhauling its nearly 480 stores worldwide, starting with its new two-story location in San Francisco. That store, scheduled to open to the public tomorrow, is supposed to look like a town square where people can gaze through giant windows to savor views of the city as they stroll through spacious aisles. It also features a 42-foot-tall sliding glass door that opens up to San Francisco's busiest shopping district. House Democrats and Republicans angrily confronted each other after a Democratic proposal to ban taxpayer money for federal contractors who discriminate against LGBT workers was defeated minutes after it appeared to have the votes to pass. The chaotic scene, accompanied by loud chants of shame, 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 included a series of insults being traded openly on the House floor. Crude oil down 3 cents at $48.64 a barrel on Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
All right, people, let's start the meeting off with a round of quick-fire questions, shall we? Whoever gets the most correct answers gets tomorrow off. First question, what's the most efficient way to manage our expenses?
Concur.
How can you capture invoices electronically and manage approvals from anywhere?
Concur.
Last question, by switching to blank, we now have the tools that give us full visibility into company spending, which helps our bottom line.
Concur.
Bob, very impressive. You get tomorrow off.
But tomorrow's Saturday.
You get tomorrow off, Bob.
Thank you.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
Kim Commando here. If your home is like most, you have some kind of broadband connection. The question is, how fast does yours need to be in order to do everything that we want to do online? 15 years ago, a 4 megabit connection was more than enough. Many people couldn't even get that. Today, 4 megabits is no longer considered broadband. The minimum speed for a broadband connection is now 25 megabits. But still, 13% of U.S. households don't have access to this speed. With everything we're doing now online, the FCC is moving toward making 100 megabit connections the minimum. So then, what do you need? If you live alone and watch HD streaming movies from Netflix or Amazon, you need at least a 25 megabit connection. If family members are also online while you're watching a movie, get a 50 megabit line. If you're not sure, just buy the fastest line you can afford. and get all the breaking tech news updated all the time at news.commando.com. That's KOMANDO. Every day, there's news about viruses and Trojans, rootkits, and criminals infecting PCs. That's why you need Kaspersky Total Security. It reacts in real time to protect you against known threats, even those that may not have been identified yet. Say something's on your PC, trying to access a folder it doesn't belong in. Kaspersky Total Security stops it, analyzes it, blocks it, or lets it go if it's safe. All in real time, without slowing down your PC. And Kaspersky developed a technology called Safe Money that gives you layers of protection when you're banking and shopping online. It makes sure a site is legit and safe, your transaction isn't intercepted, and more. Kaspersky has won more awards and more tests than any other security software provider. That's why I trust Kaspersky Total Security here at the studios and also on my computers, phone, and tablet, too. Best of all, as a Kim Commando listener, get Kaspersky today and get 50% off. Learn more at Kaspersky.com/Kim. That's Kaspersky.com/Kim.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. It's Friday. You know, we kind of freelance from time standpoint.
My wife, yep. The story of you guys eating Spam this morning touched her heart.
Did it?
Because she has, growing up in a military family, Spam was one of the main food groups.
Sure.
And it was just, you know, the way it was. And she said, they'll be tasting that the rest of the day. And I said, not to worry, because I know we get donuts on Friday.
Exactly right.
Except you didn't bring them?
Except Chesley. Yeah. In there, doesn't eat donuts.
No, however, she doesn't.
Lily was able to find as close to a non-donut donut as you can get. It is a blueberry cake donut. It appears to be dry and calorie-free. So I have this for you, Chelsea.
Aww.
Just on the offhand chance that you might make an exception to your no-donut rule here, and just... Because I know you guys are saying, boy, I gave up a lot for my art today.
Yeah, they did.
Because Lily was thinking of me, I will definitely take the zero-calorie blueberry donut.
That's right.
Thing.
It may or may not be a donut. I'm not sure. But it kind of, it's round.
It's the thought that counts.
It is the thought that counts.
I still like
its own little bag because she didn't want it to get mixed up with actual enjoyable food.
Yeah, exactly.
I still like the idea of putting these little Spam bites in a bowl in the break room, especially next to the donuts.
I already put mine in the break room, and they were gone in less than 10 minutes.
What?
Wow. That's so bad.
I swear to you, I put the package right, and I even put a Post-it next to it that said, opened today, just so everyone would know that they were fresh. I know, but, and I went back and checked, and they were gone.
That's impressive.
It is.
Gone.
I didn't know the cockroaches were that big.
Right?
No, it's just radio people.
Yeah, it is. It's radio people. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
I'll be in your studio in a moment here.
Okay.
With
all right.
Your very own little bag of
I appreciate
donut shaped goodies.
Okay. He'll hurry and you'll have a chance to take a bite of that because we're going to talk to Amanda for a minute from the Downtown Bryan Association because it's time to sip and shop one more time. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So you got to see, and you can maybe get a Spam bite before you leave.
No. I will vouch. Those donuts are really good.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So anyhow, it's sip and shop. If folks don't know what that is.
So it is an afternoon of sampling wine and shopping around downtown Bryan. Yeah. So we have 19 different stores, and each store will either host a Texas winery who will have someone from the winery there to talk about their wine, or they're going to represent a different country or region of the world.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit different than has happened before, but it's because, like so many other things that happen, you do it once, you do it twice. Hey, let's change it. Let's do some different things. And so it has continued to evolve into what you have now.
Yeah, we have Texas Reds in the fall, and we get a lot of requests for Texas wineries to come again. And so we have introduced the wineries this time. And so we have our four local wineries, and then we have three new wineries that actually have never even been to Texas Reds that are coming in. But they're around, like, they're all within a day's drive. So there are people that you can go and visit locally.
A day trip thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, we're really trying to get the sampling part of the wine. So instead of just kind of hodgepodge, you know, it's a little educational too. And so, you know, you can taste what like wine from Spain does. And so I really tried to pick out, you know, I'm thinking of the word, the wine that says most, this is Spain's like signature wine type.
Okay,
and everything is different. I mean, we have like, you know, we might have two Chardonnays, but one is oaked and one is not oaked. So okay. It's different styles of wine.
There you are. Now, if you want tickets, what do?
Yeah, you can go to Downtown Bryan today. Mm-hmm. And if you go today, they're $5 cheaper than they are tomorrow. I'd recommend getting them online. So general admission is from 2 to 6, and it's $30 today or $35 tomorrow. But we also have a VIP package, and so that'll get you in an hour earlier at 1.
Okay.
So it gives you more time to sip and shop.
Yeah.
And then you also get a nice little plate that holds your wine glass, and all of our merchants do some kind of snack. So you can throw your snacks on the plate and have one hand free to still shop.
There you go. All right. So once again, the website is?
Is downtownbryan.com.
All right. And that's going on tomorrow. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
All right. News Talk 1620 WTAW.
WTAW News Time is 8:41, 63 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your weather when we come back after this news brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. Local law enforcement is investigating two armed robberies in a 12-hour period yesterday. The first, just before midnight, sent Bryan police to the Valero corner store at William Joel Bryan in the freeway. The clerk told officers three men came inside wearing ski masks. One displayed a firearm, and they took off along with a fourth person outside the store with an undisclosed amount of money. The employee was not injured. And shortly before noon, College Station police went to Frankie's Exxon at Texas and Harvey Mitchell. An undetermined amount of money was taken by three suspects, one who displayed a handgun. Two people who were inside the store were not injured. The only suspect description given by police was that all three were wearing black hoodies and pants. One of four men arrested for participating in convenience store armed robberies in Bryan in January of last year is back in jail. Bryan police arrested 19-year-old Tyler Davis of Caldwell for threatening to shoot the mother of his children and four other people in Henderson Park Tuesday night. Davis had been out of jail for 30 hours after posting bond following his indictment by a Brazos County grand jury on six counts of aggravated robbery. According to the online jail records, Davis's bonds were increased to a total of $700,000. Three other Bryan men were involved with some of the robberies with Davis. Two of the three, 19-year-olds William Sweeps and William Dates, were sentenced to prison following plea agreements with the Brazos County District Attorney's Office. In jail and awaiting trial on three robbery charges is 22-year-old Jonathan Lett. This month's regular meeting of the Blinn College trustees included a response to repeated faculty Senate requests for more involvement in decision-making.
In February, and again last month, faculty representatives asked to be included in the decision-making process. This week, administrators presented a 23-page document demonstrating how the college is meeting standards set by its national accrediting agency. Among other things, the college is required to publish policies on the responsibility and authority of faculty in academic and governance matters. Administrators point to faculty representatives on the curriculum committee, faculty coordinators in each instructional program, and ample faculty representation on the Academic Standards Committee. The board took no action on the report, which you can read and download online at WTAW.com. Blinn trustees did act on the first change in 30 years to its policy on naming buildings, allowing names when a philanthropic gift has been given for a particular facility. That may or may not be related to a special meeting next Monday when, behind closed doors, the board considers a prospective gift or donation at an unidentified location. Next Monday's executive session also includes Blinn considering an unidentified deployment or implementation of security personnel or devices, along with real estate matters affecting Blinn's new campus in West Bryan. Back to this week's meeting, trustees delayed action on three contracts related to the new campus in West Bryan. Administrators say they were not ready to proceed on agreements related to designing access in and out of Leonard Road and Harvey Mitchell Parkway. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
Two women from our local city governments were selected to join an elite network of more than 5,000 female leaders across the country. Bryan's Community Development Manager, Alcee Bond, and College Station's Director of Community Services, Debbie Eller, were selected by Leadership Women as members of the Leadership America class of 2016. Bond says this year's first trip was to Washington, D.C. in April.
The theme for this year is leading with a global vision and a national focus. And it really gives women across the whole nation an opportunity to come together to listen to other leaders.
Bond says the 58 participants will travel to Phoenix in June and then New Orleans in October. Eller explained the different programs within Leadership Women.
We have a pipeline program, which is a weekend type program just for those new women getting into leadership positions. There's also the Leadership Texas, Leadership America, an international program that is actually going to Scandinavia this year. And there's also a one-day launch program that we held here 2 years ago. And we hope to bring that back in the next year or so.
Three more local women, Sharon Klinker, Aubrey Nettles, and Becky L. Smith, were selected as members of this year's class of Leadership Texas. Expect the unexpected is the theme of the 44th season of MSC Opus. Executive Director Ann Black says the lineup includes six performances of the Jersey Boys and three plays.
We have Judgment at Nuremberg, Barefoot in the Park, and Greater Tuna. We have a piece called All is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914, which really is all about that Christmas Eve truce that happened when they all came together at the battle line and sang Christmas carols on Christmas Eve.
Leading off the season is Lyle Lovett and his large band.
If you've never heard Lyle and his large band with strings, and I mean, it is just an amazing experience. So we're very fortunate that he wants to come home.
Tickets for the season and individual performances are now available online at mscopus.org. WTAW News Time is 8:47. It's 63 degrees. Text us your news tips, photos, and videos any time of the day to 979-695-1620. This will get news as brought to you by Awards and More. I'll have more news for you today at noon or anytime online at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
If you're like most, when it comes to having a lawnmower, four-wheeler, or other small engine equipment repaired, it's a ridiculous hassle. You have to borrow or rent a trailer, haul it to the repair shop, wait for it to be repaired, then repeat the process to get it back. Not anymore. Simply call Ace Hardware, 979-279-3003. Ace picks up the equipment, repairs it, and brings it back. For lawnmower, four-wheeler, or small engine repair, your local Ace is the place. Call 979-279-3003 for your Ace repair today.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
At Brazos Valley Floor & Design, our custom granite is definitely a cut above.
That's right, Suzanne. That's because we use a revolutionary new robotic cutting system. Its computer-controlled blades can cut with precision never possible before.
And we only use the best in 3CM granite, unlike our competitors.
So visit Brazos Valley Floor & Design on Welburn Road across from Rock Prairie. Still the largest selections at the best prices.
And that's a promise.
Let's do some weather. It's brought to you this morning by Skyline Communications, in business for your business since 1981 with two-way radios and paging service. Call Skyline Communications at 775-2929. Weather today, well, be about 83 later on today, up to 88 tomorrow. Sunday and Monday will be about the same. Chance of rain coming in on Sunday at 30%. It's up to 40% on Monday. And it's 63 still right now. So how was the donut type thing?
The donut S.
It was delicious.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Well, yeah, no, it was really good. And again, it's the thought that counts. Yeah. Thanks, Lily.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And you don't taste like spam anymore.
Yeah.
That was key.
Well, the spam bites are gone, aren't they? Because I went in to see, and they're not in the break room. Now, I don't know. Chelsea, I've been about as subtle as I could about the spam bites, but Brad hasn't taken his in there yet.
I haven't.
Saying.
You know why?
I guess he likes them.
I think Brad likes his spam bites.
I'm going to eat them. That's why.
Well, all right. So anyway, I took some over to the Maverick guys so they could have some.
Yeah. I left them and I tweeted at Frito over on Candy 95. So I kind of thought they might have been, he took them. But he tweeted back and said, one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen / smelled.
Okay. Well, there you are then.
And then he said they've already been taken. Yeah. So he must have gotten one, but then someone else took the whole package.
All right.
They do smell like cat food.
Yeah.
It's true.
And I'm sure a cat would probably eat that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now it turns out that trees sleep. just like people do.
Really? I think I've heard this before.
I did not know this. This is a study that was published in Frontiers in Plant Science, found that branches of birch trees droop by as much as 10 centimeters. The tree's branches seem to relax about 2 hours after the sun goes down, and then they get active again before the sun rises. Why are trees sleeping at night? Vox.com says it could be a drop in the internal water pressure each night of the tree. Response to photosynthesis process stopping because the sun has gone down. Another possible reason, takes energy for those trees to raise their limbs up toward the light during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So they're relaxing. That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've always heard it was.
Hey.
You know, I meant to call earlier. I forgot. I accidentally left some doggy treats in the break room.
Okay. Well, they'll be here when you
did show. We get some of Carl's doggy treats?
Probably so.
We can feed your entire pet family.
He's already gone. That was a call. He just hit and miss call because he's probably not working today.
It's Friday. Of course not.
Yeah, he woke up and decided he'd call and harass the show.
It's all new, all true family fun that will inspire you. Expect the unexpected with Opus Season 44. This year's family fun lineup includes PBS favorite Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood Live, a mesmerizing experience for the entire family, The Aluminum Show, Straight from the North Pole, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the musical, and experience Jurassic Proportions with Earth's Dinosaur Zoo Live. Sponsored by Shenandoah Veterinary Clinic and Opus Encore. Get your family's tickets now at mscopus.org.
Well, I love these Bravo Brazos Valleys, the one where I get to sit back with you and listen to Fran Lamb talk about heritage highlights. And today it's about Rowdy Rowdy Bryan.
We have often been told of the rowdy nature of downtown Bryan, especially after the Civil War, with the railroad bringing into town some rather unsavory types. Remember, no one wanted commerce to decrease. No one wanted the population to wane. Life was good for the businessmen and women in those days, so sometimes rowdy disruptions were, shall we say, overlooked. One rather hostile row took place in January of 1869 on Bryan's Main Street between gamblers who were there to ply their trade, place bets, and otherwise have a good time. After a disagreement got out of hand, Chief of Police Hill made an arrest. During the arrest, Chief Hill struck the disagreeable man over the head with his pistol. A few days later, a letter to the editor of the Houston Daily Times was posted, and it read something like this. Dear editor, there was no row among gamblers, nor did a gambler get his head caved in. That the gamblers got unruly as charged was untrue. Only two or three were drinking and driving. Chief Hill, operator of what was commonly called the Hill House and the marshal of the city by appointment, did arrest a gentleman and a gambler, and without opposition from the prisoner took his only weapon, a six-shooter. No sooner getting it in his possession than the chief struck the defenseless young man over the head with a six-shooter, inflicting a very great wound to his head and his pride. The letter to the editor continues to relay that the young man, though defenseless, resisted while trying to state his case of innocence, and again Chief Hill struck him a second time. It was at that time that Chief Hill made the decision to call out federal troops to calm the situation. The troops quickly rearrested the gambler and placed him in jail. A local group comprised of both gamblers and business owners, seeing the disturbing series of events, attempted to come to the rescue of the arrested young man during his confinement. They declared that the whole thing was a misunderstanding. They did admit, however, that the gambler was drinking, but suspected that the amount of whiskey consumed by the chief was more than the defendant had consumed. Within a few hours, the young man was released without bail. The writers of the letter to the editor, self-described gamblers, demanded a complete investigation, insisting that justice be served. Such were the times in the winter of 1869. This has been another episode of Heritage Highlights. Special thanks to local historian Bill Page. To listen to this episode or other previously aired programs, visit the KAMU website at kamu.tamu.edu.
Thank you, Fran Lamb, and that's always a Bravo Brazos Valley. I'm Tom Turbeville. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
This is Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors bringing you the quarterly real estate marketing update. Average sales price, $224,128, up 6%. Average days on the market, 92, down from 102. Currently, we have 82 days inventory. Definitely a seller's market. Call us, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, for a free market analysis for your home. 979-846-8400. Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, the trusted source creating exceptional experiences for all we sell.
There you are, News Talk 1620 WTAW. Saturday baseball, A&M and Ole Miss, 2 o'clock. I got tickets, 695-1620, 695-1620. Call right now for Saturday tickets and a parking pass.
We Texans love to show our pride. This Father's Day, show Dad how much you love him with a gift from the Texas Trading Post. Any Texas dad would love our Texas barbecue spatulas, flag aprons, cufflinks, flag ties, money clips, and flag fishing shirts. We Texans can never overdo it. TXTraders.com is your local online store for everything Texas. Voted best online store in the Brazos Valley, the Texas Trading Post. We're serious about fun Texas stuff. Click TXTraders.com.
Aggieland Carpet One is Aggieland's best flooring store. Listen to a past customer comment. We are very happy with the selections. You have a very friendly staff and very knowledgeable and courteous. The installers were great. You made it a great experience. We want everyone to know how much we love our new floors.
Come see us today at Aggie Lane Carpet One next to Harley Davidson on Highway 6.
When you need a plumber, you need someone who offers every service in the book, from faucets, sinks, and toilets to backflow, leak detection, and sewer cleaning. That's my dad, Ed Phillips Plumbing. You also want the finest customer service. Again, that's my dad, Ed Phillips Plumbing. And since plumbing problems never pop up at opportune times, you want 24-hour service. Don't worry, you can call my dad, the real 24-hour plumber, Ed Phillips Plumbing, 731-1500, or click edphillipsplumbing.com. Ed Phillips Plumbing, serving the Brazos Valley for over 10 years.
There you go, about 3 till. News Talk 1620 WTAW. Hey, who's this?
Russell Hamilton.
All right, Russell, what do you do, buddy?
I work at CC Creations.
All right, come by here. I got tickets for you. 2 o'clock Saturday game with a parking pass.
All right.
Thank you, man. See you later. All right. We didn't have time to talk about this today. I lost control of the time this morning. So we'll do it now as we're walking out the door. Google's got a patent for an invention that puts a layer of what is essentially glue on the front of cars to help pedestrians who might be struck by their driverless vehicles.
What?
The glue will act like flypaper. If a pedestrian is hit by a vehicle, the patent explains, this way, quote, both vehicle and pedestrian may come to a more gradual stop than if the pedestrian were to bounce off the vehicle. Well, what if there's a renegade vehicle out there? I mean,
right, and then what if it, like, pins you up against something?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather bounce and roll off somewhere else than be pinned into a brick wall.
I just, man.
I feel like it's not the bouncing that hurts you. It's the striking.
Yeah. Right, and it's still going to strike you. You just have to, you stick to it. Like, flypaper, that is a horrible comparison.
We'll see. They may rethink
flies
this.
Flies die when they stick to flypaper.
Right. It's like that insurance commercial where the rate suckers jump on the person's car.
Yeah,
and they're stuck
exactly.
Yes.
That's it. Well, that's. I mean, we may have this. All right, get this. A new report from InfluenceCentral.com says the average age for a child getting their first smartphone is now what? What do you think?
12.
10.
Yeah, I was going to say younger.
10.3. Mm-hmm. The report says that 64% of kids have access to the internet via their own laptop or tablet, compared to just 42% back in 2012. Also, 39% of kids got a social media account at 11.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, that bothers me. Yep. That part bothers me a little bit.